I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Our next guest has a podcast that I'm all geeked up about and can't wait for you to hear my conversation with him. His voice is very familiar to you. This will not be a voice you don't recognize.
Third and goal, two tight ends at the 7. He gets the snap. He throws a line drive in the back of the end zone. Leaping, two-handed, falling down. Back of the end zone catch by the tight end, Dixon. Heavily covered. Got the ball. Flag has been thrown. Let's see if it will stay a 7-yard touchdown pass. Newton by himself, shotgun snap is high, pulls it down, throws outside, punches, gets a block at the 30 on the numbers, the 20 down the near sideline, the 10, the 5, inside the pylon, touchdown Carolina! What a throw! What a catch and run by Devin Funchess!
He is one of my absolute favorites, the great Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One radio network. He even does play-by-play when there's a drunk guy running around on the field. I mean, he'll do play-by-play for anything. And right now, that includes the NFL on both Westwood One and CBS. Also, the NBA on TNT. He'll have the call of the Suns-Rockets game from Phoenix coming up on Thursday night. And that's where I caught up with Kevin Harlan after he had landed in Phoenix. I started out by asking you about the NFL because right now, let's face it, the NFL is in the spotlight. And it's a harsh spotlight, to be sure. Kevin, when we talk about the NFL these days, it seems like there's so much attention focused on the politics, on the drama, on the soap opera storylines, and it seems to be this popular opinion that the NFL stinks, that people aren't interested in the NFL anymore, that the novelty has worn off, and they're just not paying attention. When you're in various stadiums every weekend, you call a couple of different games, have you noticed a difference in the atmosphere, a difference in the way that the fans are operating, the way the fans are acting inside these stadiums because of some of the ethereal storylines that are surrounding the NFL?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting topic, Amy. I would say that the most visible feel part of it is that if your team is winning and playing well, you're going to have a full house. You're going to have rabid fans. There's going to be a lot of noise. It's going to be, pretty electric. And while there may be the smattering of boos for a player or two that will be kneeling or sitting or doing whatever they're going to do to show a sign of protest, I have noticed it the last 3-4 weeks dissipating. This week I was in Tampa on Sunday, and the team is losing, and the stadium was half full, and the Jets were not that good a team coming in, and the game wasn't that exciting, and so it was very blasé. The next night I was in Charlotte doing Miami and the resurgent Carolina Panthers, and Newton throws 4 touchdown passes, and the place is going bananas. So I think it's been pretty typical in terms of the feeling you get in the stadium. If you've got a winner, if you've got some exciting guys, if it's a good game, I think the same emotion and passion and all that is still there. But I don't think you can follow the sport and not realize that there are some pretty significant issues and there are some defections in terms of the overall feel that the NFL is conveying. The fans, a lot aren't buying into it. The ratings are down, as we know, whether it's, one player in for domestic battery or we got protests or whatever. It just seems like, or the gigantic Roger Goodell contract. I mean, just there's always something going on, and there's not as much put on the football field. And that the attention is tough. I think it's hard for people to get their compass on what do I pay attention to? The 6-game Elliott suspension, the performance of the Cowboy left tackle, the 6 sacks by Claiborne. You know, I mean, it's just like there's so much going on. I just don't know what people really want to follow. And so, I guess it's week to week, and you just hope that you've got a good game and you've got a nice atmosphere, and we can kind of get back some normalcy to the NFL and really enjoy what is still a very, very great, great game.
Well, you are right about that. When we get on the field and we focus on the action, we're always dazzled by what happens week to week. It's interesting, Kevin. I had a listener to the show last night tweet me and tell me, I prefer college football because there's no politics and it's not full of all this drama. It's not about the bottom line, the big business, which we know is not true. Of course, college football is big business and there's plenty of drama. But in the NFL, there's such a white hot spotlight, a harsh spotlight on every little thing that happens both on and off the field. Do you ever get this sense that you're trying to harness and ride a wave when you're doing these games?
I do, and I'm sure you do too when you're doing your show, and you're doing a national show, and you're trying to, you know, absorb all these different stories from so many different angles with everybody having a different take, and it's how does it affect the team, the player, the and society, because these things are resounding in society. The Kaepernick, right on down the line, everything seems to have, you know, so many more ripples to it and tentacles because of social media and the way that the media just jumps on these stories. And like you say, the heavy coverage that the NFL gets. So when you do have, you know, a game that is a good game, and we, Rich Gannon and I for CBS a couple weeks ago were up in Seattle. We did that Houston Texan with Deshaun Watson quarterbacking Seattle Seahawk game. And that was a game that, you know, going in, Bob McNair, the owner for the Texans, had made those comments, which were pretty insensitive, I guess. And the players, you know, were, I think, almost to a man on the Texans. And we talked to them the night before. You know, they were disturbed. I mean, and I they had a right to be there. That was a comment that just had no place, especially in these turbulent times. And what was so amazing about it going into the game, there was all this tension and focus on the kneeling players and the sign of support among the team and the coaching staff, and almost directed right at their owner who wasn't there. And then they kick off and they put on like one of the best regular season games I think I've ever seen. And so it just shows you how, like, on just the flip of a switch, you can go from all this, you know, social conscious protest stuff, and you can go right back to the game, which we all love in some form or fashion, and we can be captivated by everything going on in the field. And the greatness that is the NFL and football in totality, and so you kind of get signs that, you know, through everything that's going on, the game is still moving forward. We still get the great performances. It's still the talk of the water cooler on Mondays and Tuesday mornings, and it still is one of those sports that even though it's taking its shots, and it has taken a ton of shots from all sides, they are still on their feet, wobbly perhaps a little bit, but still on their feet, losing stars to injury, on and on and on, but they're still there and still the number one sport. So I guess if that's what the barrage they're going to take every week, every month, every year, they must feel like, all right, we've got the wherewithal to take it. We'll take those punches, and we'll keep moving forward.
We're spending a few minutes with Kevin Harlan, who you can hear on Westwood One, CBS, TNT, handling play-by-play for both the NFL and the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One of the storylines that's really celebrated this year in the NFL is the success of the Philadelphia Eagles. They are off to this fantastic first half, and everybody wants to watch Carson Wentz play football. You had a chance to see the Eagles recently. What strikes you the most about this young man?
Well, I think, number one, he is a quality individual. He is, you know, we're so disappointed so many times by guys we idolize in whatever field. And because we're all human and there's human frailties that will take someone we idolize and put them in a position that's very unfavorable, and on and on and on. Now, this kid has just recently gotten on the big stage, but from everything that you read about, hear about, watch, you know, hear from people that are around him, I mean, he's like almost too good to be true as a person. Like, he's like this, He's a leader. He's a friend. He's a compassionate, famous name that will go and visit sick kids or someone down in their luck. And he's a consummate teammate, and he's well prepared, and he's been given these great gifts, you know, to do what he does on the field. And so I admire the heck out of a guy like that. And he is everything is advertised and more. And isn't it great that we have someone we can kind of hang our hat on and watch and kind of cheer for? I mean, he's a very likable kid. And he's in terms of his football, they have the Teflon to handle the Sproles being knocked out of the season. They lose their starting left tackle. They plug somebody else in. They find a new guy to run the ball, return punts and kicks, and they just keep on moving. They're as balanced a team as anything. But the face of the team, the feel of the team, comes from that quarterback. So I think he has his fingerprints over everything that's going on. The veterans look at him as a leader, and he's only a couple years, as we know, in the league. But he has been sensational in every part. I'm rooting for him. I think it's one of the great stories this year in the league.
Well, Carson Wentz and the Eagles could be exactly what the NFL needs this season. All right, Kevin, I have a confession to make. One of the reasons that I had producer Tom come after you and schedule an interview with you is because I enjoy listening to you and Kurt Warner on your broadcast on Westwood One, and I keep hearing you talk about the football podcast, this podcast that you and Kurt do together. And I'm a huge fan of his. I feel the same way about him that you do about Carson Wentz. He's almost too good to be true. Now he's a Hall of Famer. And so I'm heading into the holidays. I have a couple of really long road trips. In fact, I'll be in the car for a couple of days over Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I'm thinking, okay, I need some podcasts. I'm going to listen to Kurt Warner and Kevin Harlan's podcast. So what do you guys talk about?
Oh, Amy, I don't even know what a podcast is, let alone, you know, that we're even doing it the right way. We're just sitting there talking. And I always joke with Kurt, you know, because he's a football guy. He's not like a media guy. And he's got the NFL Network thing, and I get that, but they came to us, you know, late summer. They said, "You want to do this podcast?" We said, "Yeah, sure, we'll do the podcast." And so he's really gotten into it. Actually, he will text me like on Monday morning, and I've just gotten in for my Sunday night game with CBS. And so I'm some hotel, and I wake up, and sure enough, he's already got all kinds of ideas and things he wants to talk about. The nice thing about the podcast, and you know, it's got to have some form and fashion to it because it's sponsored and whatever. Who knows what they do with it, but I don't even know how it works. But they just tape it in New York. We're sitting in some press box. They just tape it, and I don't know what they do with it, but they put it up and people subscribe to it. But we talk about stuff like things that are like kind of behind the curtain, like what's it feel like to be in a situation like this or to prepare for a game in the hours that maybe you're outside of the public eye and how you're doing it. And what did you go through and what were your feelings going? And he's very honest about stuff. He's honest in his appraisal about current players. It's quarterback centric. I mean, he's talking about quarterbacks and offenses. And then we get, you know, broaden it a little bit and talk about teams and races and things like that. But if you like the NFL, I'm glad you asked this question, by the way. And I always joke with them, I go, well, it's the award winning. It's not won any awards. I'm saying it. Maybe we're just trying to push the product, right? We're trying to push the podcast. And he starts laughing about, I mean, gosh, he was my sidekick in San Francisco when that drunk kid ran on the field last year. And he was egging me on, so he really gets wrapped up in this stuff. He's enjoying it. So we talk about quarterbacking, and it's really fascinating. It's the one position which I think is the most important position in all of sports. You've got so much on your plate. You've got so much to handle, and he deciphered things so well when he played. He does the same thing in the podcast. So if you've got a couple long trips coming up, I think you're going to like it.
I do. I can't wait. You don't have to sell me on Kurt Warner and Kevin Harlan together, especially if it's anything like the rapport and chemistry on the Westwood One broadcast, which I absolutely love. But yes, always mentioning that it's an award-winning podcast. Who knew that that was just a ploy? We're in the middle of a conversation with play-by-play announcer Kevin Harlan, who will have the call of the Rockets and the Suns, second half of the TNT doubleheader on Thursday night. I had a chance to catch up with him in Phoenix. And after talking about the NFL, I kind of shifted to his NBA role. And I asked him, Kevin, when you see these new cores, these new groups of guys who want to play together, it still feels like they're feeling out this process. Is that what it looks like to you, that they're still trying to figure each other out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen Oklahoma City twice, and there's no doubt that they are in that process right now. Think of it, all three of those guys, Westbrook and Carmelo and Paul George, have all been the number one guy for most of their, if not all of their, careers. And so now they've got like three number one guys on the floor at one time. And it's weird. I mean, it's like they're deferring to one another. And all right, this possession, you take the shot. This possession, you take the shot. And it's really been complex. They're having a hard time figuring it out. And you mentioned Chris Paul. I was just flying in tonight into Phoenix. And as I was getting off the plane, they said, Paul, they think, is going to play tomorrow night. So that game against the Suns will feature, you know, Paul and Harden in the same backcourt, you know, for the first time. And it's going to be very fascinating to watch those two guys, because if anyone knows Paul, he's always got to have the ball in his hand. If anyone watches, you know, Harden, he's got to have the ball in his hand. And so now what's going to happen there? Who defers to who, and who leads, and who's the voice? Who's in a crunch? Who takes the big shot? I mean, Harden is playing like out of his mind right now. Mm-hmm. He's just like going nuts. And now Paul comes in there, and it's gonna change. It's got to. So I like watching these things in progress and how they develop and who has to adjust. And right now it looks like Russell Westbrook is adjusting the most for Oklahoma City, and just trying to make these other guys feel like, you know, here's the ball, be in a comfort zone, do what you do, we'll adjust. And that takes some time. Even as great as these players are, like we're talking Hall of Fame caliber guys, even they have got to have that moment where they've got to kind of flex a little bit and change and backpedal and adjust. And that I think is a fascinating part of the opening month of the season.
And it's such a contrast with the NFL, Kevin, because with football, you have 16 games, 17 weeks. There's a sense of urgency, no time to waste, no time to mess around, really not much margin for error. Whereas with the NBA, it stretches out over months and months. It's an 82-game schedule. If LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are 10 games below 500 at Thanksgiving, well, you know not to worry.
Well, they've got, you know, the greatest player that's ever played in James, but let's face it. I mean, the game now is never been better in terms of quality opponents. You've got it's such a marathon, and trying to keep buoyant after, you know, for him, he's made 8 finals and in a row, and you know, where do you find what's your motivation in late November, not even at Thanksgiving yet? You know, it was weird. We had Halloween the other night. And like the season was already 2.5 weeks old. Well, the season used to begin like Halloween week. So, I mean, they had a shortened preseason. They had half as many games. You know, I mean, just a lot of different adjustments that have got to be made by all these teams and even the great players. And that's what, you know, is kind of a work in progress. The league is they're going to great lengths to make these games as much like a playoff game as they can. Fewer back-to-backs, not trying to cram 4 games in 5 nights, giving these guys a chance to practice. It's an amazing sport, and just think how great it would be if they could practice. But you know what? There's no time to practice. And I just think that's so absurd that you cannot practice, like, because everybody practices, but they don't in the NBA, because on the days off, they got to rest. They're exhausted, or they got to travel. And so the league is making, you know, these gigantic moves to, you know, force the season to go up 2 weeks or 10 days, so there is more breathing space during the regular season, so that when you do take your family there, you can, you know, pay a lot of money to go see him, but you know you're going to see James or see Carmelo or see, you know, Lonzo Ball, if that's who you want to see. So I applaud the league for doing it, because they're trying to make it better. They'll never take less games, unfortunately, because the owners would never agree to it. But the reality is, that would be the answer. If they went like to 68 games, that would be the perfect season. You'd have a couple days between every game.
Ah.
You'd never have a back-to-back. You'd have great practices and health and everything else. But there's no way they're going to cut 14 games. So you got to live with what they've got because the genie's out of the bottle and you're going to play 82. And then the long playoffs. And these players know that when you get in that playoff, it's like a whole second. It's 2 months. It can go like 2 months. And that's what LeBron has done for eight straight years. He's gone another 2 months after the end of the regular season. It's tough. It's difficult. So when I see him at 500 and they've lost a couple or they win a couple, they, you know, they're kind of all over the place, I don't worry that much because he's too good. And the guys know that when they got to hit that other gear, flip the switch, they can easily do it.
Really never a dull moment. It never stops, Kevin. We're going to look for you with the NBA hat on Thursday night on TNT in Phoenix as the Suns host the Rockets. And personally, the moral of this interview is that I can't wait for this podcast.
You know what? Hey, listen, I'm going to mention this conversation in the award-winning podcast. We're going to be in Seattle for the Seattle-Atlanta game on Monday night, and we'll be in the empty stadium 4 hours beforehand. That's when we tape it. And I mentioned, Amy, that you listen to the podcast. You're going to download the podcast. You've got driving ahead of you, and you're going to be listening to the podcast, and I'll make sure that Kurt says hello to you in the podcast. And I'm going to tell him what a big fan you are. I'm going to tell him what a big fan you are. So this is going to be this will be like Christmas early for you.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Merry Christmas to me and to you, Kevin Harlan. You can hear him on TNT with the NBA game on Thursday night, but he's also on CBS for the NFL and Westwood One through the rest of the fall. It's always good to catch up with you, and I feel like we just did a commercial for the podcast. I'm so proud of us. Thank you, Kevin.
Great talking to you too, Amy. Take care.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I hope that you enjoyed the conversation with Kevin Harlan. He's fantastic. I could listen to Kevin talk. I do listen to Kevin talk for hours every week. I prefer to hear Kevin Harlan and Boomer Esiason or Kurt Warner, depending on who his partner is for some of his games, Rich Gannon. I prefer to listen to him do a game and those teams do games on radio, even over watching on TV. As Kevin brings the game to life, and you can hear that same energy and enthusiasm and that ability to describe a situation, to tell a story, all of that makes him a fantastic play-by-play announcer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. I don't know, Isaac, I keep seeing tweets and now a Facebook post about the Joe Rogan podcast and how this is a good one, that he's always good. So, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. Wait, how's the language, though? Is the language going to be something that I don't really want
graphic
to hear? Oh, okay, that could be a problem. You guys know me. I'm not big into some of the language that people use. And the deal is, with podcasts, there are very few rules. So that's kind of the biggest difference between what you might see on TV and radio, though I'll grant you the lines are not as black and white as, or the lines aren't as strict as they used to be. There are a lot more words and topics that are now allowed on broadcast TV and radio shows by the FCC than there used to be when I first got into the business. But with podcasts, there are very few rules. That's why people like podcasts. A, you don't need any experience. You don't actually need a platform. You just need the ability to record audio. And in addition to that, there are hardly any rules that apply in the podcast realm. So there have been people that I enjoy listening to or watching on TV or radio, and I'll check out their podcasts, and I can't listen for very long because the language is a bit too colorful, a little bit too vulgar for me. So I told you guys before, if the language is in my brain, it will come out my mouth. So I'm very careful about what I listen to. Even TV shows, I'm pretty careful about what I listen to and what I sleep on, so to speak. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, asking you if you are among the 24% of Americans who listened to podcasts in 2017. I know that some of you listen to ours, which we really appreciate. One of the ones that you listen to at A-Law Radio as well. I can't believe that Kurt Warner calls it an award-winning podcast when it's not really. Somewhere that violates a rule, but you know, whatever. As we say, there aren't very many that work in the podcast realm. All right, so a couple of funny things as we head up toward the top of the hour here. I referenced this at the end of our last show, And then I tweeted it at A-Law Radio, the video. But producer Tom has made an audio file out of a surprise that Star Wars fans got on the Star Tours ride at Disneyland. Now, here we are, inside of a month until the next Star Wars movie comes out, The Last Jedi, which focuses on Luke Skywalker, who plays Luke Skywalker, but Mark Hamill.
Oh, and the Force is strong with this one. So let me go
ahead. Hello, everyone. There's no Star Wars fans here, are there?
That would be me. I would be freaking out. And if you haven't seen the video, again, I tweeted it not even 24 hours ago, so it's on my Twitter. But their faces are priceless. And do you know what everyone else does? Even as they're screaming, as Mark Hamill walks into the room, they go,
hello, everyone.
They go nutso, and then they all reach for their phones so that they could all have it on video or make a Snapchat of it or make sure they take pictures. It's really funny. He asked them, are there any Star Wars fans in here? And they're like, oh, they actually raised their hands, a bunch of them. So check out the video. It's really funny on Twitter at A-Law Radio. Yeah. That's what the theater is going to be like, Tom, when you go on the first day. You know that people are so geeked up, they cannot keep their emotions contained.
Yeah. People will be cheering. People will be singing before the movie. And if Mark Hamill shows up, they'd probably burn the house down. So you better not.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Talk about a cool surprise. I mean, whoa, something you never expect. And here he is hovering and he walks into the Star Tours ride at Disneyland, which it's not a huge group of people. It's maybe 25 people. I've been to the one at Disney World, not at Disneyland.
To Skywalker.
They do a good job with that ride, too. It's like 12 different rides in one. So if you keep riding it, you get different experiences.
Mm-hmm. It's really neat. It's like a virtual reality ride where there's a screen up in front of you. I don't know if you're wearing glasses or if you're wearing something over your eyes, but you feel like it might be 3D, at least the one that I went to, and you feel like you're in the middle of the Star Wars movie. And as you say, there are multiple scenes. So if you stand in line again, you might just get Mark Hamill walking in. So that's kind of cool. Bunch of you, after I tweeted that, responded with pictures of your ticket stubs and the fact that you've already got your tickets. And so it's getting close, not even a month. Whoop, whoop.
I just kind of want to geek out and ask you a bunch of questions right now, but we're also live on the air. So.
Oh, we will. Before it gets closer, we will. It'll be like our Christmas gift to each other. Okay, so something else that is guaranteed to make you laugh. Who has any idea why Coach Nick Saban would start a press conference with a walk down memory lane? But I tell you what, this guy... he's genuine. He's real. He doesn't pretend to be something that he's not. I mean, that's not Nick Saban. He wouldn't even bother to try to be someone that he's not. So when these things come out of his mouth, these musings from Nick Saban.
Like shit through a tin horn, man.
Yeah, see, he doesn't try to be anyone else. He just is what he is, and that works. And he doesn't care if you think it's odd that he didn't know it was Election Day. And I'm not even sure he knows when it's Christmas or what weekend Thanksgiving is, except that it has to do with his football schedule, right? And the Iron Bowl is... the day after. Is it
but
still
I
on,
just wanted to say that.
It's still on Friday? Is the Iron Bowl still on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, or is it on Saturday now? Okay, so maybe it's on Saturday.
I don't even know what you asked me.
Exactly. So Nick Saban walks into his press conference on Wednesday and launches into a diatribe about jeans.
I just wanted to know how we got here. Not to offend anybody out there, but I just walked by some jeans, wore out jeans, holes in them, all cut up. I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, I was ashamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out, only because we didn't have any better. Now they buy them that way. I just can't figure out how we get here. I don't know.
You hear the nervous laughter when he first starts talking about it, but people are, I think, a little bit reluctant to laugh until he does. because he's talking about how he was a poor kid and how he used to be embarrassed to wear jeans with rips in them, which I was too when I was a kid. I mean, that was kind of a get. You did not go to school in, well, I couldn't wear jeans to school, but you didn't go out with jeans that were ripped because that was embarrassing. Even worse if your mom tried to patch them up, which my mom did. Now it's considered cool, and I'm always flabbergasted that my nieces pay extra money to wear a pair of jeans that look like they got pulled out of a cow's rear end multiple times. So here Nick Saban starts his press conference that way.
I just wanted to know how we got here. Not to offend anybody out there, but I just walked by some jeans, wore out jeans, holes in them, all cut up. I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, I was ashamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out, only because we didn't have any better. Now they buy them that way. I just can't figure out how did we get here. I don't know.
And then when he laughs, everyone else starts to laugh too. I wonder if he likes John Denver.
I could see that actually.
I could too. That kind of fits him.
I love how he cracks himself up. That's the best part of all.
After telling this really serious story and sharing a memory from his past, he makes himself laugh, and then everybody else is okay to laugh too. He definitely sets the tone.
I don't know.
I mean, I never heard that at him before. That's
and
amazing.
Meanwhile, he's taking it out on the microphone again too. Can you hear it? It's like the.
Wore out jeans.
I love it. He says, I walked by a pair of jeans with a straight face.
I just remember when I was a kid in West Virginia, just walked by some jeans.
He was very reflective on Wednesday. Oh my gosh, I love Nick Saban. He's as good as Chuck Pagano with the strange press conferences. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I think the jeans comments are better than the rat poison comments. Actually, I feel like this is even better. It's another side of Nick Saban that we've never seen.
We're dead and buried and gone.
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 And it's not going to be for you.
So good.
I feel like we've seen a slightly softer side of both Nick Saban and Bill Belichick this
when?
Year.
When? Since the rat poison?
If you're paying attention, just slightly softer. They're just letting, I don't know. They're relaxing a little bit. It's not showing on the field.
But. It happened with Coach K.
Right, yes.
Over the last few years, he did that commercial.
Another great example.
Where people were, it was like his grandson or something, texting with players, and they're texting emojis, and you can see maybe him softening up a little bit, and I think it's the same kind of principle. It's just the older you get, the less you take for granted, the more you appreciate what you've got and the fact that you have the opportunity to do what they do. You get more. You definitely get more reflective when you are older, for sure. Really neat. I didn't even have a chance to tell you why Wednesday was a traumatic day for me because Nick Saban was busy telling you why Wednesday was a traumatic day for him. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that aren't exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best and Wagner Thermal Quiet. That's O'Reilly Auto Parts. We got 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.